Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unintended Consequences by Dan Walsh, narrated by Kirby Hayborn. 1. Jack got in the car and handed Rachel an ice cream cone. I wonder when I'll get used to it. Get used to what? And what's this? I didn't ask for an ice cream cone. He closed the door. They were driving through the charming little seaside town of Chatham on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I know you didn't ask for one, but you're getting one anyway. I couldn't believe it. The owner of the little shop still remembers me. Jack had come here so many times over the years visiting his grandparents. Unless it was the dead of winter, he'd always stop in to get an ice cream cone. The man looked out the window, then asked why I wasn't getting one for my girlfriend. I told him, "That's not my girlfriend, that's my wife." When he heard that, he insisted on giving you one for free. If you don't want it, I'll eat it when I'm done with mine. You just need to... Oh, I want it. She took a big lick around the edges. I just don't want to say it. He smiled. You were going to eat half of mine. That was the plan. She smiled, took another lick. Is this coconut? He nodded. As soon as I saw it in the case, I knew I was bringing one out to you. When do we ever see coconut ice cream? He turned the car on, took a big lick of his own double-scoop raspberry. What can't you get used to? What? Oh, calling you my wife. I love whenever I get to say it. Afterwards, I think I can't believe it. Rachel's my wife. They were married 2 months ago, but Jack hadn't been able to break away from his duties at the university for a honeymoon trip until this past week. As he turned his blue BMW sedan left onto Main Street, she leaned over and kissed him. How much farther till we reach your grandmother's? I don't want to still be eating this when she first sees me. Turns out this ice cream shop is exactly one ice cream cone away from my grandmother's place. Over the years, I've lost count of the times I had to finish one to avoid getting a lecture about spoiling my dinner. But I can't drive by that place without stopping whenever I come here. When was the last time you visited her? Almost 2 years ago. But I can't wait that long anymore. Didn't you say she was 94? Almost. And she lives alone? He nodded, took another lick of his cone. That's how she wants it. My folks and I have tried over the years to get her to move someplace else. They even bought their last house because it had a mother-in-law apartment, but she says she doesn't want to leave. All her memories with my grandfather are there. I can see that, Rachel said. If you're married to someone that long... 61 years, Jack said. Grandpa has been gone now since 2001. That's a long time to live alone. It is. He turned right at Cross Street, drove past the town hall. Rachel's eyes were looking all around. I get why she wouldn't want to leave here, besides all the memories. I already love this place. What a beautiful little town. Really, this whole drive through Cape Cod has been amazing. They drove past a string of homes. Look at these. They're so adorable, every one of them. I get now why they call this style of house Cape Cod. You're going to love her place. It's not far. It's just like these, but on water. She lives in a beach house? Not quite. It's a big pond. That's what they call it anyway, but it really connects to the ocean if you trace it out far enough. My grandfather bought the house a long time ago, after he retired from the military. It was pretty affordable then. Now, it's worth over $1 million. And it's not even that big a house. What's she like? She's pretty frail, but she's always been petite. Her mind, though, is as sharp as ever. You're gonna love her, and she'll love you right off the bat. I've told her all about you. His grandmother wasn't physically able to make it to the wedding, which was why Jack made this little detour during their honeymoon drive through New England, so the two of them could meet. What's her name?
Renee.
Sounds French.
It is, and she really is from France.
still has a slight accent, even after living here so long. They met in England during World War II a short time after she left France, right after the Nazis took over. Your grandfather was a fighter pilot, right? He was, for several years, but he did a whole lot more things in his military career. I can't wait for you to hear their story. That's the other reason I wanted to come here, so she could tell you my grandfather's story. I only heard bits and pieces of it while he was alive. 2 years after he died, I came up to visit her for a week, and she told me the whole thing. How they met, how they fell in love, how he even came to be in England in the first place. When he took that boat ride across the Atlantic, America wasn't even in the war yet. It was more than a year before Pearl Harbor. What he did was actually illegal. If he got caught, he could have been sent to prison, maybe even lose his U.S. citizenship. You're kidding. I'm not. You're not going to believe their story. It's the wildest thing I've ever heard. Weren't you named after him? Jack nodded. I am. Flying Officer Jack Turner. That's who he was when she first met him. He was an American pilot flying for the RAF. He even fought in the Battle of Britain, and he's the reason I majored in military history and focused mainly on World War II. It all started after my grandmother told me his story. Well, their story. How come you've never told me their story before? He made a quick left turn, then a quick right. Because why hear a great story retold from a third party when you can hear it told in person by a living eyewitness? Won't talking about these things stir up a bunch of painful memories for her? It might. No, it probably will. But not all the memories are painful. I think she'd say most of them aren't. The way she tells it, it's not really a war story at all. Although there's a ton of action and suspense in it. But hearing her tell it, it sounds more like a love story. I like love stories. I know you do. You sure she won't mind? I know she won't. I called her yesterday before we left our hotel in Newport and asked her. What did she say? At first, there was a long pause. I was about to say not to worry about it. But then she said, with that sweet French accent, that she'd be willing to tell their story one last time, just for you. 2. Jack turned right onto a private road that led to his grandmother's property, as well as a few other homes that bordered the pond. They drove past an open field. "I keep seeing these beautiful yellow flowers and bushes," Rachel said.
"The flowers are daffodils, and the flowering bushes are forsythia. You're also seeing some dandelions, which God throws in for free. My grandmother said everything started blooming last week. She's got plenty of all three on her property. It's just up ahead, on the left. You can see the water straight down the road."
"I could get used to this," Rachel said, "at least in the spring.
Summer and fall are both really nice here, too. Really, just the winters are tough, and they can be brutal. Sometimes they go pretty long, too, swallowing up the first part of the spring. But I knew we'd be coming at a great time."
He slowed the car down and turned left into a driveway.
"Here we are."
"Oh my gosh, Jack, it's adorable. I love those little dormers sticking out of the second story."
Jack looked it over, trying to imagine seeing the house for the first time. "It looks a little small at first, but wait till you see inside. Those dormers are the front windows for the bedrooms. There are some really cool angled ceilings up there, and you're gonna love the furniture. Pretty much all antiques except for the family room. She made everything comfortable in there."
Jack drove past the house and stopped in front of a freestanding garage. "I thought you said the property was on the water."
"It is. When you get out, walk past the big tree. You'll see it." He pointed to the covered porch that ran along the back of the house. "You can see the water plainly sitting there, by those tables and chairs."
She came behind the car, walked past him onto the grass, and continued past the oak.
A big smile came over her face. She turned around and looked at the back porch. I'd love to drink my morning coffee sitting right there. You can, but you'll need to wear a sweater. Still pretty nippy here in the morning. One of the French patio doors opened. Jack instantly recognized the smiling face of his grandmother as she stepped outside. She looked almost the same, though, if possible, even more frail than before. This would be the last time he'd wait this long to see her. "Hey, Grandma!" He waved and walked toward her. "Jack," she said, reaching out her arms. "You're here." He got to her before she made it to the steps. Tears filled her eyes. He gave her as tight of a hug as he dared. "I'm so glad you came." "Me too." She released the hug, but he clung to her a moment more. When he let go, she took one step to the side to welcome Rachel. "Look at you," she said to Rachel, "even prettier than the pictures." She reached out to hug her, and Rachel quickly responded. "Thanks," she said, "and thanks so much for having us. I'm so glad to finally meet you." Jack's grandmother continued to hold one of Rachel's hands as they walked. "No, thank you for taking time out of your honeymoon to see me. I can't believe you did that." "There was just no way we were going to get this close and not stop by," Jack said. "When I mentioned it to Rachel, she didn't even hesitate a moment before saying yes." "Well, I'm so glad it worked out. I was sad I couldn't make your wedding. I'm just not able to travel long distances anymore. The last time I flew, my ribs cracked with just a little bit of turbulence." "Ouch," Rachel said. "I've had cracked ribs before. It's very painful." "It is, and at my age it takes forever to heal." She turned back toward the patio door. "Why don't you two come in and we'll show Rachel around? Then you can get your things from the car and get situated in your room. While you do that, I'll make us a fresh pot of coffee. We can chat out here on the porch and get caught up." "I would love that," Rachel said. "Great. Then that's what we'll do." Rachel thoroughly enjoyed the tour of the downstairs. Jack was right. She loved every stick of furniture in his grandmother's home, and every choice she had made decorating it. Even her choices in wallpaper, which Rachel didn't use on her walls anymore, but it seemed totally appropriate here. And she loved listening to her talk, a sweet, almost lyrical voice with a trace of French still present, especially with certain words and phrases. After showing them the first floor, she hesitated at the stairs. Jack interjected. "Grandma, I noticed you're using the guest room down here as your bedroom. Is that because you're letting us use the master bedroom upstairs?"
"No, I moved myself down here permanently. The stairs are just too hard for me to navigate anymore. They make me dizzy."
"That's what I thought. How about I show Rachel the upstairs and you go make the coffee?"
"That might be a good idea."
"Don't forget to show her the balcony."
"I won't." Jack took Rachel by the hand and led her up the stairs. There were three more bedrooms. The master bedroom to the right of the stairs had its own bath. Another fairly big bedroom was down the hall at the other end of the house. In between was a smaller bedroom and a family bathroom. Rachel loved the hardwood floors and the nice collection of oriental rugs centered in each room.
"Oh, almost forgot," Jack said.
He brought her back to the master bedroom.
"The balcony."
She could already see it through two French doors, beyond the four-post queen-size bed against the left wall. Jack led her past the bed and opened one of the doors. Crisp, cool air blew in. They walked out together.
"Okay, I changed my mind. This is where I want to have my morning coffee."
"Isn't this perfect?" The balcony didn't stick out from the house, but was set inside with walls on each side. Thick limbs from nearby oak trees arched over the left side, but did nothing to hinder the view of the water. Two well-worn wicker chairs were angled in each corner, each with a small circular table. Rachel sat in one and put her feet up on the balcony.
"Can we just move in? Can we just live here from now on?"
Jack laughed.
"I know, right?"
He leaned over and kissed her. "But we better head back down." She sighed.
"I know, but I claim this corner."
She stood, put her arms around him and kissed him, then kissed him a little longer.
"This is not a good idea," Jack said, smiling. "I mean, it's a great idea, but maybe a few hours from now."
He pulled away gently, but continued to hold her hand.
"Let's head back downstairs. I'll get our stuff from the car and bring it back up here. Would you feel comfortable visiting with my grandmother?"
"Sure."
"And maybe fix our coffee?"
"I can do that."
They walked past the bed, out into the hall, and started down the stairs. Halfway down, Rachel whispered,
"What should I call her?"
"I'm not sure. I think I know, but why don't you ask her what she'd like you to call her?"
"Okay."
When they got downstairs, Jack's grandmother was just pouring the coffee and setting the mugs on a tray.
"Let me get that for you," Rachel said.
Mrs. Turner? Or I'm not sure what I should call you."
The old woman smiled.
"Well, my name is Renee. That's what my friends call me. But since we're family now, you can call me what Jack does, if that doesn't feel too strange."
"I think I would like that."
"Then just call me Grandma."
Rachel pointed to the tray with the coffee mugs.
"Then may I get that for you, Grandma?" "Thank you. That would be lovely."
Just then, Jack's phone rang. It startled them a little. He hadn't gotten any calls since they'd started their honeymoon several days ago. Before they'd left, he had given strict instructions to his personal secretary and the rest of the staff he interacted with at the university. Under no circumstances were they to contact him on his honeymoon, unless it was an absolute emergency. He pulled his phone out of his pocket and looked at the screen. A stern look instantly appeared on his face.
"Who is it, Jack?" Rachel asked.
"My secretary."
He sighed, conflicted about what to do.
"You better get it," she said. "It's the first time they've called. It must be important, right?"
He sighed again.
"It better be."
He touched the screen and held the phone to his ear.
"Hey, Eileen, this is Jack."
3.
"Hi, Dr. Turner. I'm so sorry interrupting your honeymoon like this. I wouldn't do it unless I was absolutely forced to. It really is an emergency. Not the life-or-death kind, but it's pretty serious. Dr. Mendelsohn called a few minutes ago and insisted I contact you about it."
Dr. Mendelsohn was, essentially, Jack's boss at Culpeper University. If he had insisted Eileen call, she really didn't have a choice. The other slightly irritating thing was hearing Eileen refer to him as Dr. Turner. Jack had received his doctorate a few months ago, but didn't enjoy everyone on staff addressing him so formally. But Dr. Mendelsohn had insisted on it, insisting it was a show of respect. Jack put his hand over the phone.
"I'm going to take this outside."
As he opened the patio door, he said,
"Okay, Eileen, what's going on?"
He closed the door and leaned up against the wood railing, facing the water.
"Dr. Watson has been in a car accident."
"Oh, no," Jack said. "Is he all right? How serious was it?"
"I don't have all the details," Eileen said. "Just what his personal assistant told me when she called about 30 minutes ago. It didn't happen here. It happened back in Cincinnati, on his way to the airport. The taxi he was riding in got T-boned at an intersection. The driver's in critical condition. Dr. Watson's condition is listed as serious. He has some broken bones and a concussion,
but his assistant said he's expected to make a full recovery.
I understand, Jack said. He was responsible for a huge annual fundraising gala this weekend back in Culpeper. Hundreds of alumni, many of them big donors to the school, planned to attend. The only way Jack could get Dr. Mendelsohn to agree to let him schedule his honeymoon this week was to bring in a guest speaker that Dr. Mendelsohn would see as talented as Jack, if not more. When Jack told Mendelsohn that Dr. Watson had agreed to come, a big smile came over his face.
Okay, now you can go.
Jack was sure, with this news, that smile was no longer present on Dr. Mendelsohn's face.
As you know, Dr. Turner, Eileen said, Dr. Watson was scheduled to speak at both the luncheon tomorrow at 12:30 and then again at the big gala tomorrow.
I know, Eileen. I'm the one who set up the schedule, remember?
I'm so sorry, Dr. Turner. I know how much you and Mrs. Turner were looking forward to this New England trip. I asked Dr. Mendelsohn what instructions he wanted me to give you, you know, to gauge his expectations. It seems he's really just concerned about the two big events. I don't think you'd have to cancel your whole trip. I looked up some flight information. You're in Chatham now, right?
Yep.
I did some checking. It's about a 45-minute drive to Hyannis. There's a nice municipal airport there. If you leave within the hour, you can make a flight to Boston's Logan Airport and easily catch one of several flights from Logan back to Atlanta this evening. Dr. Mendelsohn said to spare no expense, so you'd be flying first class all the way, both of you. He agreed to pay for Mrs. Turner's flights here and back. I can get you guys on the same setup flying back to Cape Cod on Sunday morning. You could be back on track, enjoying the rest of your honeymoon by Sunday afternoon. Jack sighed. Until this moment, their honeymoon had been perfect. Not a single thing had gone wrong. He and Rachel had joked about it on the drive here. Trips never go this smoothly. He was expecting something more like a flat tire, a couple of rainy days, maybe one of them catching a cold. Not something like this. Dr. Turner, what do you think? Should I book the flights?
Jack really had no choice. There was no one at the school he could delegate this assignment to, no other guest speaker he could grab on such short notice. He was just about to say yes when he got an idea. It wasn't a perfect solution, but at least it was a way to make the next 48 hours a little more pleasant for his new bride.
Go ahead and book the flights, Eileen, but just for me.
You'll be traveling alone? It's really okay if you bring Rachel. Dr. Mendelsohn said it was the least he could do since he was interrupting your...
No, I'll be traveling alone. We just got here. She's really enjoying this place. And most of the reason for including the stop here in Chatham was for her to get some time with my grandmother. There's no reason that part of the trip has to end. So go ahead and book the flights, but just for me. Could you also set me up with an Uber driver for the drive from here to Hyannis? That way I can leave our car here for Rachel, in case she needs it.
You sure you don't want a taxi? I could probably even get a limo, since we're not paying for Mrs. Turner's tickets.
An Uber driver's fine, thanks. And thanks for setting this all up.
I really am so sorry.
I know, it's not your fault. He said goodbye and hung up. When he turned around, Rachel was still inside, standing behind the French door, sipping her coffee mug, a concerned expression on her face. He motioned for her to come outside. He knew this news would disappoint her, but she wouldn't freak out or say anything to make him feel guilty. She'd worked at the university, too. She knew how things went.
"Is everything all right?" she asked.
"Not really." Jack's grandmother came out behind Rachel, then stepped around her toward the outdoor table.
"Then why don't you two have a seat over here by me, and, Jack, you can tell us all about it. No sense letting this perfectly good cup of coffee go to waste."
"I don't know if I have time, Grandma. I need to get my things together. An Uber driver will be on his way here shortly to get me."
"An Uber driver?" Rachel repeated. That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
You said, get you. Are you going somewhere and I'm staying here?
That's what I was thinking. Let me explain what happened.
That's a good idea, Grandma said. But why don't you sit here and explain it to us over coffee? You don't have to get your things all together. You didn't unpack yet, did you?
No, we didn't.
Then you can take a minute, catch your breath, and explain what's going on.
Jack laughed. She may be old and frail and weigh less than 90 pounds, but she was most definitely in charge. He and Rachel joined her at the table. Over the next 5 minutes, Jack explained the situation, including his plan to leave Rachel here until he got back. Rachel's heart sank as the realization of Jack's news sunk in. Her immediate reaction was to insist that she be allowed to join him on this detour back to the university. But Jack began to explain how crazy busy he would be over the next 2 days and how little real quality time they would have together.
Contrary to that, Jack continued, you could have the most wonderful, refreshing time in this beautiful setting, with this magnificent view and all these lovely yellow flowers and blooming bushes all around, and spend some undistracted quality time getting to know one of the most remarkable women I've ever met, who also just happens to be my grandmother. Rachel reached for his hand and squeezed it gently.
As usual, you make a most convincing argument, Dr. Turner.
That's right, Jack. I forgot you received your PhD a few months ago, his grandmother said. I forgot to congratulate you, Dr. Turner.
Jack smiled. Thanks, Grandma, but there's no way in the world you're going to start calling me that.
But I do like the sound of it, she said.
You're the first Turner to be given that honor. I always knew you were smart, just like your grandfather. He was a brilliant man, too, in his own way.
Rachel noticed her looking away, as if she was seeing him now.
That's one of the reasons why I love talking to you so much, Grandma said. You sound just like he did when he was your age, and you resemble him so much.
I may look a little like him and sound like him, but that's where the comparisons end, I'm afraid. Grandpa was such a man of action, like Rachel's dad. Did I tell you he was an Air Force general, too? Those men made history. All I do is teach it.
I beg to differ, sir, Rachel said. All you do is teach it? You don't think you're a man of action, as you put it?
She looked at Grandma. Did he tell you that last year he rescued me from a kidnapper and stopped a murderer who was just about to kill a police sergeant back home? He made the local TV news, and the whole city honored him with a big award. The mayor gave it to Jack himself.
No, he didn't tell me any of this. She looked at Jack. But I can't say I'm surprised to hear it.
I guess the legacy of the first Jack Turner lives on in you, Jack. A lot more than you know.
I don't know about that, Jack said. But that's another great reason for you to stay here, Rachel, until I get back. Grandma, are you still willing to tell Rachel Grandpa's story, even if I'm not here? I don't mean the short version, either. I mean the long one. As I recall, it took almost 2 days to hear all the different parts. I want her to hear it all. Like you said, she's family now.
Grandma thought a moment, smiled, and said, Of course.
She reached for Rachel's hand.
She may not look very much like me, or sound very much like me, but I can tell she loves you every bit as much as I loved your grandfather.
Jack stood. Thanks, Grandma. I better get my stuff down from upstairs. I don't know when that driver will be here, but it could be soon. He leaned down and kissed Rachel.
See, even the way you kiss her reminds me of your grandfather.
Grandma smiled at Rachel.
But you know, Jack's grandfather wasn't the first man in my life, or even the first man I thought...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?